thank you so much for coming and hanging out with us this morning. Obviously, this is the Good Word, the podcast. This is actually the first episode where we have, ta-da,
It is beautiful.
And I know that you and I have been in communication for some time. So obviously, this podcast talks about the intersection of faith and spirituality and how it impacts our daily lives. And most importantly, how it can make us the best person that we can be, which is very important.
Always.
So you have a very interesting story. I would love for you to share it, and then we can kind of dive in and how, you know, folks out there that might be watching or listening, how they too can be successful at their dreams and aspirations and hopes and things that they're trying to do.
It's so important to follow your passion and your dream. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the way that faith and spirituality works is in our guidance, right? And how we give to this world. And so it's really exciting to be able to be here with you to talk about the Good Word and that intersection of faith and business.
So you have Love and Faith Cafe. It's in Northwest DC.
It is on 14th Street.
Tell me a little bit about how you were able to build this business from scratch and the role and impact that your faith and your belief and your perseverance played in all of this.
All those things are so very important. So if you don't mind, I'm going to back up just a little bit.
Sure. Yes. Back up. Please back up.
To get to the cafe, you need a little bit of information beforehand. So I actually started a nonprofit organization in Los Angeles called Oneness in 2000. Mm-hmm. And I grew up in a faith community that was all about service to the community. I'm a Baha'i. That's my spiritual background. My mother became a Baha'i when I was 3 years old. And when I was, I lived in a little beach town in Jupiter, Florida. And
I've heard of Jupiter.
You have.
But that's because I worked in Miami.
Okay.
So I'm familiar.
And Michael Jordan lives there and Tiger Woods lives there. So Jupiter has become a place of, you know, prominence, I guess, because of some of our celebrities.
Did all those celebrities live there when you were growing up?
No, only Burt Reynolds.
Okay. It's come a long way.
Yeah, it's come a long way. So, but my parents sent me to a private school. And one day I came home and I asked my mom what the N-word meant. And, I'd never heard that before, not in my home, not in my community. And my mother was like, oh, no, not my child. So she took me way out west of town. Our community in the early, mid-70s was segregated. And we went to this Black Baptist church. And as all the children were going off to Sunday school, she said to me, Faith, all the kids are going off to Sunday school. You need to go join them. And I was like, I'm good. I'm gonna be with you. She was like, no, all the kids are going. You go too. And I was like, nah, I want to be with you. And I was the first child born to my parents. So I always thought I was a miniature adult. I didn't necessarily want to be with the other kids, but my mom knew something else was going on. And she looked at me and said, Faith, what's wrong? All the kids are going. Why aren't you going? And I looked at her and I went, I'm different. And she looked at me and she said, good, now you know what it feels like. Because there was only one or two Black children in my classes. Mm-hmm. And so she said, it's your job to make them feel as comfortable as they make you feel here today. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it gave me a whole other paradigm shift to say, okay, what does it mean to live in a world that is separate? What does oneness truly come about? How does oneness truly come about? Mm-hmm. It comes about by intimate relationships, mm-hmm. through friendships, mm-hmm. through love, really. Mm-hmm. You know, the foundation of all things is love. Mm-hmm. And so I grew up with a quote that said, the well-being of mankind, its peace and security are unattainable unless and until its unity is firmly established. Mm-hmm. So I grew up in this community that was separate, but not my home. I thought the rest of the world was like mine, but it wasn't. And so it gave me a purview into a different way of looking at the world, not normal to what other people who looked like me saw it in Jupiter. Mm-hmm. At the same time, I was baking. These chocolate chip cookies here that I brought you, I've been baking since I was 6 years old.
Wow.
And my second mother, Judy, taught me.
So we have to... I'm going to try to hold this up a little bit so that folks can see. Yes, this is amazing.
So, and I believe that love is an actual ingredient in my food. So when all the kids were out playing, I was baking. And when I was 14 years old, I got my first.
So this started at six.
Yes.
Wow.
But that's why I'm getting ready to kind of take you on my journey, because it's really, truly been a journey. So this started at six. When I was 14, I got my first Martha Stewart cookbook. And I made something of hers, and I looked at mine, and I looked at hers, and I was like, how does mine look better than hers does? And I'm only 14. You know, it was just a gift that I had. It was a gift that God, I believe, gave me. So if you would have asked me what I wanted to be when I grew up, I would have told you a caterer. It was my passion.
Always.
Always. And then I moved, but I also grew up with the passion of bringing people together because of my faith and what the importance that my faith puts in bringing people together. So here I am, knowing that the well-being of mankind, its peace and security are unattainable unless and until its unity is firmly established. And I have this passion for cooking, and but I don't, like, they're two totally different things, right?
Right.
So I went to Chicago. I moved to Chicago.
I lived in Chicago, too.
Okay.
And Chicago, you know, quick sidebar, has some of the best food in the world. Amazing food. I was much heavier when I was in Chicago.
I was heavier and lighter at different times.
So you moved to Chicago.
It's wonderful.
Did you live in Chicago?
I did.
Okay, so you moved to Chicago.
I did. I lived there for 10 years.
Wow. Okay.
And I continued in the food service industry, but I also started working with a woman by the name of Dr. Joy DeGruy. Have you ever heard of her before?
I have not.
She wrote the book called Post-Traumatic Slave Syndrome, America's Legacy of Enduring Injury and Healing. And all of her work is about our history, and I became a firm believer because of knowing her and because of my spiritual upbringing that the only way to really truly address racism in America is to know the true history that we come from. Because growing up in Jupiter, Florida, I was totally miseducated, and there wasn't necessarily people in my household to correct me. I think one of the ways in which we remain very separate in this community is because there is so much miseducation out there, and you would think that I should know. And I should know if I'm conscious.
Right, if you're conscious.
But a lot of people
don't. That's the operative.
But a lot of people don't realize that they're not conscious.
Or they don't want to be. There's that sector as well.
There is. There is.
That might be a very small sector, but there's that sector as well.
I think it's a smaller sector than we give people credit for.
I agree.
I think that more people are well-meaning and good-intentioned than not.
I pray.
Yeah, me too. So there was another quote that I grew up with from the Baha'i faith that said, backbiting is the most grievous of sins. And I went to my mother and I said, Mom, I don't understand why backbiting, I was 8 years old, is worse than killing or stabbing or raping or beating. Like, that makes no sense. And the quote says that backbiting quenches the life of the spirit and extinguishes the life of the soul. And later, many, many years later, in my 30s, I found Dr. Emoto's work. Are you familiar with Dr. Emoto's work?
It sounds familiar.
Okay, so Dr. Emoto's work, basically, he was a Japanese scientist who did tests with water and exposed water to different elements. So words, pictures, music. So he took a single glass of water, divided it into two, went into a soundproof room with one of the vats of water and said the word love, and went into a room with the other vat of water and said the word hate. And when he froze the water and took pictures of the ice crystals, the water that heard the word love was beautiful, perfect snowflake. The water that heard the word hate was deformed, yellowish in color, like it had been impacted.
Really?
There's been thousands of experiments done. He then took it and went.
Wait a minute. Okay.
True story.
We can't just like jump past. So you're saying that there was a study where someone said the word love to water and another, and that same person said the word hate to water, and then they froze, and you're saying they froze differently?
Absolutely. 100%. And he did this experiment thousands of times, and it always turned out the same. But then he took it a step further, and he said, okay, well, there's everything is sound vibration. He's written many books, so mm-hmm. you can research mm-hmm. this. Your listeners out there can mm-hmm. research this. Mm-hmm. Dr. Matsura Emoto is his name. And he said, well, okay, there's vibration. When I say the word love, it elevates. It sounds nice. When I say the word hate, you know, there's vibration in our vocal cords. Mm-hmm. He said, what if I go into a room and I think it, but I don't say it? The exact same thing happened. Exactly. And the thing that came out through all of his experiments was that the words that heard the word or thought or, you know, impacted was beautiful and magnificent, and that love and gratitude were the words that produced the most beautiful snowflakes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So then he did further experiments. And, you know, when I want to take it back to that my 8-year-old self, when I said, I don't understand why backbiting is the most grievous of sins, talking badly about someone behind their back. Mm-hmm. And when I read Dr. Emoto's work, I was like, oh my gosh, I finally understand. There's actually scientific proof mm-hmm. behind what Baha'u'llah says and backbiting being the most grievous of sins, because what Dr. Emoto said was, Our bodies are made up of 70% water.
Well, that also just goes back to the golden rule, which is do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Right.
Treat others how you wish to be treated.
Religion,
you
know,
if you don't have
one.
Something nice to say,
yep.
don't say anything at all. It's much easier said than done,
yeah.
obviously.
Yeah.
You know, just if you take a look at where we are as a country today. And it's interesting that you bring all this up, because I feel like we are more divisive now than I can ever remember, at least, you know, in my time here.
It's we're living in very challenging, scary, and at the same time, hopeful times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's another quote that I grew up with from Abdu'l-Bahá that says, the reality of man is his thought.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've come to realize is all my life as a child, I thought that was spiritual and esoteric and somewhere way out here.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've come to realize was Dr. Emoto's work, understanding all these things that we're talking about, I can look off to the left and I can tell you about every challenging thing I have going on in my world. And there are many. But I can also look off to the left and tell you about the wonderful things that are going on in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes back to the Bible verse, so a man thinketh,
so he becomes.
So he is,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you have... Religion is one. God is one. There's only one God that brings humanity together, the creator of the universe, the creator of us all. And if you read different scriptures from different faiths, you will see that often, even though if the author wasn't remarked, if it wasn't written, mm-hmm. you wouldn't necessarily know who it was, because the word of God is always the same.
Mm-hmm.
So these two passions in my life, knowing that there is love as an actual ingredient in my food, you know, mm-hmm. if I am baking and I am making something with the intention of showing you love,
mm-hmm.
your body is going to feel that. Dr. Emoto's work has proven that when you eat something made with love, it's going to impact you.
Mm-hmm.
He took it a step further and talked about prayer, which...
Wow.
Because we're here talking about the good word, I wanted to mention. And there was a lake in Japan that had chlorine in it. And he had tried to freeze the water many, many times, was never able to do it. And he did this experiment where he had 500 people all over the world praying for this body of water at the exact same moment in time. And one of the reasons why he did this experiment was because doctors are scientific and it's all about proof, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, these doctors are going, well, I don't understand why people who should have died have these miracles and heal, and people who should have healed die. And what effect does prayer have on that?
Mm-hmm.
So he had 500 people all over the world praying for this body of water. And after that happened, it froze and made the most beautiful ice crystals again.
Wow. So how do you get from, let me make sure the microphone, this is all still very new to me,
uh-huh.
podcasting. So how do you get from, you know, you're 8, you're 14, yep. you decide you have this passion to bake yep. and with spirituality. How do you get from there to yeah. to here?
Yeah. So I started a nonprofit organization in 2000 in Los Angeles, and I ran that for 7 years. And our mission was to eliminate racism and promote the oneness of unity through music, the arts, and education. And we had an idea of creating a record kind of like We Are the World, but that really addressed racism in America and promoted the oneness of humanity. And we had all these huge celebrities sign on at the time. But unfortunately, people constantly were like, aren't we done with the racism thing? You know, haven't we moved beyond this? Mm. You know, do we really need to do this work? Mm-hmm. So the record labels got involved, and one thing led to another. Mm-hmm. We did over 100 programs in 7 years, but the nonprofit was never able to fully take off the way mm-hmm. we had mm-hmm. envisioned.
Right.
So a friend of mine had a business here at the DC Convention Center, which was a Starbucks We Proudly Brew kiosk business. Mm-hmm. And she needed a manager, and she had me come out because of my food service experience for all of those years and come out and run our business. Mm-hmm. And I was offered a job out here. And then I had decided that I wanted to be the first. I love sugar, but sugar does not love me. And
ditto.
There are so many of us.
Right.
And I decided that I was okay, though, with pure agave, pure maple syrup, pure honey. Mm-hmm. So I had developed a whole ice cream business mm-hmm. around naturally sweetened and organic products. And I had perfected all my recipes, but I couldn't find the funding for my business. But then I discovered liquid nitrogen. And when I discovered liquid nitrogen, I'm like, oh my gosh, that's perfect. It's the beginning of the liquid nitrogen ice cream craze. Mm-hmm. And I went to my general manager at the convention center, and I brought him the idea. He goes, that's a great idea, let's do it. And 3 months later, I had my own business. And everybody who walked through my doors, and that's God, right? That's God right. working in my
right.
life.
There's, absolutely.
You know, like there's all these twists and
turns. There's so many people who want to start businesses, and they're serial entrepreneurs. They try and try and try and try, and they're just wanting something yeah. to hit. And so that's nothing but God.
Yeah. And you think that entrepreneurs just want to, like, that, you know, we want to make our own schedules. And, you know, the reason you go into your...
Those are the perks.
my experience has been that you work 3 times as hard mm-hmm. as an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. And that's something you need to know mm-hmm. going into it. Because mm-hmm. if you don't have that kind of drive, you're probably not going to be the best entrepreneur.
So you have this idea for liquid nitrogen. You present it to your general manager. A few months later, you have your own business.
Yep. And everyone,
did it happen that fast?
It really did. But remember, I had been saving up and I had been perfecting all my recipes for 2 years. So it didn't happen that fast overall.
And was this something that you were praying for? Or
it was.
So
it was
you wanted, you always yeah. want, okay.
Yeah, it was something that I was like, and interestingly, the woman that I mentioned to you, Dr. Joy DeGruy, I'd worked with her for 8 years. And it was very interesting because when our paths kind of went in different directions, it was one of the, like, for me, it was heartbreaking mm-hmm. because I loved her work and I supported it so much. But it was interesting because looking back, I realized if I was still trying to make her dreams come true, I wouldn't have found my own. Mm. And sometimes you have to venture out on your own instead of supporting mm-hmm. someone else's dreams mm-hmm. and cause mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. bring forward your own dreams. So mm-hmm. it wasn't something that happened overnight. I had been developing this business for 2 years. I didn't know about the liquid nitrogen piece. Mm-hmm. But when I discovered the liquid nitrogen piece, everything just kind of fell into place. And I was only open about 100 days out of the year being at the convention mm-hmm. center because it's an event-based business. Mm-hmm. And when people would come to the convention center and have my products, they're like, oh my God, this is the best ice cream I've ever had.
Right.
Where can I get it when you're not here? And that's when I started to venture out and open a cafe. And I thought, well, this, you know, I'm going to be able to serve humanity. I'm going to put love into my food. I'm going to create a space going back to my oneness work of creating. This is the combining of my two passions mm-hmm. to bring together, you know, I'm living in a gentrified community, which is on the cusp of everything. And gentrification has some really negative aspects to it. And there are some positive aspects to it. It's a very double-edged sword. So how do I create a space where everyone feels welcome and comfortable? Mm-hmm. How do I create a space to have community dialogue? Mm-hmm. How do I create a space that makes everyone feel like they are members of the Love and Faith family? Mm-hmm. There are quotes on every single table when you walk in. On one side is a quote on love, on the other side is a quote on faith. So no matter where you sit every day, you might have a different inspiration. There are quotes from spiritual and religious, to poets, to the unknown, to musicians. And it's meant to be a place that is inspiring and uplifting. So that we want you to feel better walking out of our doors than you did walking into our doors. So
I remember the first conversation I had with you, and you answered. And I remember I asked what your name was, and you said, Faith.
Yeah.
And then I said, it makes sense. Love and Faith Cafe. And what's interesting is that, you know, when I started to think about, you know, who would be great to speak to and, you know, for this podcast, and just really, you know, kind of ventured out and was researching, you know, faith-themed cafes, gospel-themed cafes. Yours was one of, I want to say it was the first one.
Wonderful.
It was the first one that came up. And then when we spoke, I completely understood why.
Yeah.
Everybody was so warm and everybody was just so very accommodating. And it's really, really amazing. So I'm going to ask you, how do you, A, reach a clientele that maybe doesn't have that same compass when it comes to faith or religion or spirituality or anything like that? Maybe they're completely, you know, completely turned off by the whole concept.
There was a man who came in one day. He was loaded, so, you know, forgive me here, but he was like, I just thought for sure Amy Grant would be on the, you know, playing on the music and you'd be thumping Bibles up in this place. And I'm like, you know, because a lot of people do like think, well, is it one of those Christian cafes that have been gaining, you know, popularity?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we do it through love. Because God loves us all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not, you know, specifically talking about religion. We're talking about the principles that God gave to us to bring humanity forward. Love thy neighbor as yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a quote from Baha'u'llah that at the very front of the entrance, it's not in your face, but it's right there at the beginning that says, be generous in prosperity and thankful in adversity.
Mm-hmm.
Be worthy of the trust of thy neighbor and look upon him with a bright and friendly face. Be a treasure to the poor, an admonisher to the rich. It's our mission. It's the reason that we're there. So, you know, we do this through the music that's playing when you walk in, the smells, the things that you eat, we look to uplift you, but not specifically by getting involved in necessarily having religious conversations unless you'd like to.
Mm-hmm.
And if you'd like to, we can go there. But I'm not gonna make anybody feel like they're not, like this isn't their place, because it's welcoming for all.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever your beliefs.
So what is your advice to entrepreneurs? What are your top three nuggets?
Top three nuggets for entrepreneurs.
Or even aspiring
entrepreneurs.
Because there's a lot of people who want to be an entrepreneur, but they're just not there yet. So
number one, find your passion. I really, truly believe there was something that was said to me when I was 15. I was on a Baha'i pilgrimage. And this person said, do you realize how special you are? God has held you in the palm of his hands for hundreds, nay, thousands of years for your souls to be released at this time. So I really truly believe that each one of us were given a gift to give to this world that would then make it a better place. So find what that passion is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what did God put you on this earth to give? And when you find out what that is, do it. You know, so find your passion. You have to have faith, and you have to have diligence and persistence and a really good hard work ethic, because it takes everything to make something from nothing into something that serves your community mm-hmm. or serves whoever.
Faith, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Faith Holmes, owner of Love and Faith Cafe in Northwest Washington, D.C. Thank you very much. That was enlightening. I feel better already. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you so much for coming.
My pleasure. You.